In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, today is the Sunday after the exaltation of the precious and life-giving cross. And therefore we have these readings that should be very near to us, dear to us, and we should know them well from Galatians and from St. Mark. But there are also readings that are appointed today. To be honest to you, it's some surprise to me they weren't read. I wanted to have all of them read, that are just for the Sunday after Pentecost. And in 2 Corinthians, at the end of the reading, St. Paul gives us an admonition because of something, he says. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And of course, that is the way Christians should live. In cleanliness of flesh and spirit, and in perfection, in gradual but ever increasing perfection and holiness. We know that. But that's a very difficult thing to do. We live in a world that's very unclean. Feel very much like the prophet who said he lived among a people with unclean lips, and he had unclean lips. That's what we're like. We're in a very unclean world. It's very hard to be holy, to be clean. So how do you do it? We're commanded to do it, we know it, but how do you do it? Really, the majority of what a pastor does is try to teach people how to do what they should do. If he spends or needs to, or is required to spend too much time telling people what they should do, they're never going to do it. You have to know in your heart that you should be holy. Now, I've talked about that many times, but I've also tried to talk to you about how to do it, because it's a skill that you can learn, not a skill like of your own abilities you can learn how to be a good mechanic. This skill is given by God, but only if we strive to learn it, if we make an effort. And the vast majority of our effort, 99.9% of our effort, is how our heart moves and thinks, our priorities, our thoughts, our desires, our attitude. In fact, I believe that our attitude is more important than anything else, because our attitude should guide our thoughts. You know, thoughts are discrete things. You think something and it comes into your awareness and you either accept it or reject it. But attitudes are things that underlie everything we do. And sometimes we're not aware of those attitudes. The gospel and the epistle for the Sunday after the cross tell us how to shape our attitudes. Not necessarily discrete thoughts that we think, but the way we live. And if you do that, then you will obey the apostles' admonition to cleanse yourself of all filthiness of flesh and spirit and perfect holiness in the fear of God. Because that's the purpose for the incarnation, for us to become holy and perfect. That is the reason why our Lord did everything. So let's look at what the Apostle says and also what St. Mark says. Now the Apostle Paul, as is his habit, says a lot of really complicated things that you have to really be an incredible scholar of the Jewish scriptures to understand. They're very hard to understand. He talks about the law, and I have a tenuous grasp on it. But what is really important is what he says after he makes his description. Fortunately, St. Paul, who must have been just ridiculously bright, besides being holy, he was just really bright, just a smart person, a scholarly person. Fortunately, after he said the scholarly stuff that made your head swim a little bit, he applies it
very directly. So here's what he says. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He's describing an attitude, a way of life, not a particular thought. Now, when you come to a certain temptation today, I really doubt seriously that you're going to immediately think of this verse and recount it in your head and think about it and say, okay, now I'm going to make the right choice. No, things happen much too fast for that. You know that an explosion is just something that burns really fast. Well, that's sin. Sin is like an explosion. We don't have time. We must have it in our hearts. So, we must believe deeply in within us. It must be our whole lifestyle that we live not for ourselves, but because of Christ, and that Christ lives in us. If we have that attitude, we will be saved from very much sin. Now, as an aside, St. John Chrysostom says that when St. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, he's referring to baptism. And it makes sense. Crucifixion kills. It killed the God-man, right? It killed, that is, Jesus the man. It couldn't kill him as God. And what does baptism do? It slays the old man. And it is an entrance into the church. And so we can refer to crucifixion and baptism in the same breath. But also, crucifixion is to sacrifice, is to give ourselves to someone else, as Christ did. So we must have this attitude within us. And if you live with this idea that is the engine behind everything you do, then you will mount up like an eagle, as the scripture says. And you will become more and more perfect. Life is very mundane. It's full of all kinds of details, all kinds of stuff. Almost none of it matters. And we get trapped in it all the time. Our finances and our work and our education and doing the laundry and our entertainments and everything else. But all that really matters is, are we living according to that image of God that we were made in? So that we would bear the likeness of Christ. Are we becoming more perfect every day? We have all the tools to become perfect. Our Lord became man for our sake. He showed us the way. He appointed others to teach us the way. He made it possible for us to follow the way with baptism. He sent us the Holy Spirit to guide us. We have everything we need. That's all that matters. Nothing else counts. And yet we are immersed in mundane things daily, minute by minute even. But if we look at this verse and if it imprints itself on us, then nothing else matters. There's a term in our ascetical literature, the remembrance of death. Do you know what it is? Do you know what it means? It doesn't mean that we know we're going to die. Everybody knows they're going to die. That doesn't really change people's lives. The remembrance of death is that we look at the world and everything in it, and we compare it to Jesus Christ, to God, the Holy Trinity, to holiness, to perfection, to goodness, and we reject it because it's all dead. St. John thinks that might be one of the things that St. Paul meant when he said that he was dead to the law. Meaning that we see deadness in life and we reject it because we want to be alive in Christ. This is a difficult thing to do, brothers and sisters, because our bad habits lead us constantly down those rabbit holes. But that's all that matters in your life. That's it. Is perfection. Nothing else. You were made for perfection. You were made to know God intimately. We can't know God intimately unless we become like Him. You've heard that a few times, I think. But it's still hard to do, isn't it? But if you inculcate in yourself that it's not you doing the living, it's Jesus Christ living in you, then you would be saved from many things. Now, we do this in a secular level, right? Someone wants to live to take care of someone else. They dedicate themselves to them, a mother, a father. We should do it for God. Our Savior lives within us, despite the fact that we do not have a very good habitation for Him. Things are not really that clean, but they should be. So may God grant that they become clean. We must have that attitude. Now, the gospel says the same thing. It's about making comparisons. Both of these, epistle and the gospel, are about the remembrance of death in our ascetical tradition. Rejecting that which is dead so that we can be alive. Everything's a comparison, brothers and sisters. Every single thing you do is a comparison, is a value judgment. Everything. And so, our Lord tells us that whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What's he denying? Things that are of death. Things of the world. You cannot deny yourself unless you have the remembrance of death. Knowing that there is a next life. There is an eternity. And that all of this is a fantasy, is just a vapor. It's going to go away. And the only thing that stays will be who you are. Who you have become. That's the only thing that lasts. So you must deny the things that are going to go away anyway. And take up the cross. The Lord died on the cross for many reasons. One was as an example. If I be lifted up, I draw all men to myself. And how is he drawing them? By his example. Also, of course, by his divinity and how he changed human nature. But then he is showing himself as the example of how we should live. And so we must live this way. Taking up the cross means to live in obedience to God for a purpose. Not because of some sort of legalism. Not because we're going to get in trouble if we don't. But because it is the way of life. It's the only thing that matters. And because Christ is living within us. His death on the cross made us alive. And so it makes sense to deny ourselves of the things that are dead anyway. As is our Lord's habit, and this is really classic Jewish poetry too, by the way. After he says, deny yourself and take up your cross, he repeats himself in a different way. For whosoever will save his life will lose it, and whosoever will lose his life, and for my sake and for the gospel's, the same shall save it. There's that value judgment again. There's that comparison. Lose the things that you're going to lose anyway. Lose the things that are not of value. That's what he means by whoever will lose his life will save it. And he also means, in the other way, whoever will save his life will lose it. If you save the things that are of no consequence, of no value, then you'll have nothing at the end. You won't have become like Christ. And when the Lord judges you, he will say, I don't know you. The reason he'll say that is because you won't have acquired the virtues. You won't look like him. That image in which you were made will not have been polished by years of labor and tears and effort and good attitude. And there won't be the likeness of God within you. He repeats himself again, saying basically the same thought when he says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That's four sentences all saying the same thing. Reject that which is not life. Reject that which is temporary. None of it's worth it. And care only for heavenly things. There is nothing that will profit you that is worthwhile if you do not gain your soul. You gain the whole world, you lose your soul, you have nothing. Nothing. And then the Lord asks that question, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That should be easy for us to answer. What does the Lord command of us? He wants our heart. He wants our complete attention. He wants us to live as a person who is crucified with Christ and lives not as ourselves, but with Christ living in us. That's what we give in exchange for our soul. That is the only thing we can give in exchange for our soul, is to live according to how God created us. Now, we're in a world that has so much that is called Christianity that is of the world. That's death. We must have the right attitude, brothers and sisters, so that we do not get caught up in it. I hear even now Christians saying things, having attitudes that are horrible regarding morality, regarding the way to live. They're getting these things because they're plugged into the world. But you shouldn't be. You should live according to the gospel. And the gospel says that God became man to save us. And that the only way we are to be saved and will be saved is to follow him. And so, let us use this admonition of St. Paul, or this statement of St. Paul, as a mnemonic device. I like to do that. If perhaps that would work for you. Not something that you bring up to your memory when there's an occasion of sin, because it happens too fast for that. But live your life according to this. And that is, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. May God grant it for all of us that we live this way. Amen.